him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You can be seated. If the Lord would help me for a little while tonight, I want to preach on some assurances that I find at Calvary. Some assurances that I find at Calvary. I don't know about you tonight, but I just want to say today, you can't please God if you don't come unto Him by faith. The Bible says if we're going to please God, we got to come unto Him by faith and believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you ever get kind of burdened down with faithful serving God and wonder in your mind, is there a payday coming? Is it even worth it selling out and going with God? Is it worth it being faithful and fruitful and fervent? Is it worth it living by the Bible? Is it worth it standing against wickedness and standing for what's right? I mean, church, I know a lot of churches that's pretty good, and they have pretty good, they got a whole lot more people, and they're not so tight about some things, and they let a lot of other things fly. Listen, my opinion, we let too many things fly. It ain't that we try to be strict, that ain't it. It's not being strict, that ain't about that. It's about being biblical, amen. I like the Bible, I want to be more like Him. Is it not common sense for us, amen, Jesus has full assurance that we're saved. He is completely assured that we're saved. And God just wants us to be like Him. I remember when somebody came up to me and said, "Seth, dressed up in that little suit. He looks just like his daddy. He looks just like his Sharpie. Look at him. He's not standing like his daddy. He sits like his daddy. He walks. His mannerisms is like his daddy." I thought, boy, that made me feel a little bit good. My boys won't be like me. Well, is it too much to ask for God's children? Hey, man, for Him to want Him, want His children to be like Him. God's holy. God's sure. God's not shaky. He don't live on unstable grounds. We have to get assurance. Sometimes God brings assurance through suffering. Are y'all with me today? Sometimes God shakes everything around you so that you can see that what you're standing on, the rock that is the Lord, is unshakable. I was reading the other day in the Bible, and it said in Psalms 40, "He brought me also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet on a solid rock, established my going, hath put a new song in my..." Most people, I've said it that way many times. I've quoted it, have put a new song in my heart. Do you know what it actually said, Brother Johnny? I read it just this morning to remind myself. It said, "Put a new song in my mouth." In other words, it starts down in your heart, but it don't stay in your heart. You see, for a song to be in your heart, it may never be heard. But for a song to be in your mouth, it's going to be heard. In other words, there will be a noticeable change in the tune you're singing. There'll be a noticeable change in the way you're standing. We're not on unstable ground. We don't have to look and grab onto something when the whole world shakes and rots, when Wall Street is upside down, when everybody's finances, their emotional stability, people are depressed, discouraged, downtrodden, everywhere you look. But we don't have to be. You know why? Because we're on Jesus, amen. The Bible said in Hebrews 12, verse 28 and 29, "Thank God, wherefore, seeing we have a kingdom which cannot be moved." Hey, I'm going to preach a message one day, God be my helper, on thank God. Woo! When there's a whole lot of shaking going on. And it ain't going to have nothing to do with Elvis. Amen. If you look in the book of Acts, there's a whole lot of times things get shook up. But they get shook up to accomplish God's plan. You remember when God shook the prison cell and they lost their chains and bonds, and Paul and Silas got to preach and a bunch of them prisoners got born again? You remember that? There was a shaking that took place to accomplish God's purpose. Sometimes God uses the hard times of our life, that difficult situations, the times we suffer in, so that we can see everything around us shaking. And for some reason, we're not shaking. Hallelujah. God has to shake up the world just to show you your salvation is unshakable. It is solid. Amen. Now, I want to tell you today, I'm not preaching the Bible. Do y'all understand? I'm not preaching the Bible. That's what some people may say. Or would it be more correct to say, I'm preaching the Bible. Amen. Now, if I'm preaching the Bible and you've came into church tonight and it's your desire to hear what the Bible has to say, wouldn't you want to hear it like this rather than like this? See, when you're like this, it's a sign of resistance. And I can see it on people's countenance right now. There's a couple folks in here that's like this. You ain't going to get nothing clenching. But I'll tell you what you can get when you open your hands and get them cleaned up. You know what? My mama used to always tell me, we'd come inside from after playing, hey, say, let me see your hands. I'd show her my hands. And it was bad sometimes, Brother Johnny, because she could see by my hands, the condition of the dirt on my hands, just what kind of mischief I'd been into. It revealed itself to me. I've got unclean hands a lot of times. That's what I'm trying to say. You can't come to God with unclean hands. You can't come to God clenching onto your sin, clenching onto your bad attitude, mad at the preacher, thinking he's pointed you out. If I would point you out if I knew it helped. Hey man, if it would help, I'd point you out. But hear me today. The Holy Ghost can do better pointing folk out than I ever can. The Holy Ghost is saying tonight, let me see your hands. Don't clench them. Show me them hands. You can't come to God unless you've got clean hands. And what else should it say? A pure heart. Friend, I hope you came tonight with a heart that's pure, with a heart that's not hard, with a heart that's not, amen, stubborn, with a heart that's not resistant to the Bible and not resistant to the truth. Can I say tonight, I've read the scripture tonight, here's a man you thought would be hard, here's a man you thought would be mean, here's a man how you think, man, he is set, the die is cast, there is no hope for this old boy, and I want to preach to you tonight because I know these people in here that may have clenched hands. They may be people with unclean hands. There may be people with sour attitude. There may be people with sorry, amen, ambitions. But can I say tonight, oh, there's hope for you. The die's not set. Amen. There is hope. If there was hope for a man who in the last moments of his life was dying beside Jesus, there is hope for you, sinner friend. There's hope for you, disobedient saint. Woo! I want to please God. Amen. Are you willing to open up your heart? Are you willing to unclench your fist? Are you willing to say, God, speak to me? Are you willing to say, God, check my mind out? You see the Bible when you preach it, and the preacher says things like, I can tell by the discernment on your face. You say, preacher, come on. You're trying to be super spiritual. No, I'm just being biblical. The Bible said the word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder, dividing a spirit, is able to pierce asunder, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. You see, just preaching the Bible, just preaching about, that's what I'm preaching tonight. I'm not preaching the almanac, whether you believe it. I'm in the book tonight. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Amen. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Oh my, and it can discern the thoughts and the intents of your heart. I wonder tonight, are you sitting here with able to die? If you were in the last moments of your life, as this thief was, when he made a plea for forgiveness, when this thief in the previous verse from our text, when he made the plea for forgiveness, amen, his desire, amen, his was a prayer of faith. It was a plea of forgiveness. It was a wish to please, amen, the Father that he offended. I wonder tonight if you come in with that attitude. If you've come in tonight with any other, with that left side thief attitude, you'll leave tonight being unhelped, being unregenerated, being unmoved. You may die in your rebellious, idolatrous, sinful, clenched fist attitude. But if you've come in tonight with a heart open, with a heart that says, God, check me out, clench me up, I open my hands, check my thoughts. Hey, I receive you. I need the truth tonight. Then you might identify with the man on the right side. You'll say, I want to make a plea for forgiveness. I want to make a prayer of faith tonight. I want to please the Father tonight. You know, I want to please Him. I just want to please Him tonight. You know, I believe it ought to be our desire to please God tonight. We find in the Scripture there were seven times that it pleased God about some things. things. Well, first of all, it pleased God to bruise the Son. That's an amazing thing to me, that the Father would be pleased in bruising the Son. But I do know why. Because further in that verse it says that we might make his soul an offering for sin. In other words, because he was bruised, we can get born again. Oh, hallelujah. Can I say thank God? Amen. Woo! Bless the Lord. It pleased God to bruise him. That was for my sake. It pleased God to make to him Christ that all the fullness would dwell. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. In other words, he was 100% God and he was 100% man. And it pleased God that in him should all the fullness dwell. It pleased God in 1 Corinthians 1:21 to save them that believe. That's for us. Are y'all following me yet? Everything that pleases God is for our benefit. Now I just want to say tonight, if you're thinking tonight, I want to please God, if I'm going to please God, then I've got to please myself. Not necessarily so. You see, the Bible says you have to deny yourself. You see, when Simon came that day, amen, and he was compelled, that word compelled is to be forcefully made to do something. That Roman centurion compelled Simon to bear the cross after Jesus. I'm not going to argue with you. He was on one side of the cross beam and Jesus was on the other side of the cross beam. I'm not going to argue with you. He was bearing the whole thing. But I believe the Bible says he was bearing it with him. And so I believe, hey man, that Christ was bearing it and he was bearing it simultaneously. Now what are you saying? This is what I'm saying. Whether how they were bearing it, this is the marked difference between Simon and Christ from the rest of the crowd that was on looking to what was going on. What linked them together. What welded them together. What marked them from the rest of the crowd was the cross of Christ. Can I say today, hey man, if you're going to bear His cross, you're going to have to deny yourself. Not please yourself. Not if you're backbiting, murmuring, complaining, and griping, always starts out, and it's always centered around you and 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 me and me and my family and me and you, then the problem might be, friend, that you're not denying yourself. I seek to please God. That man on the right hand side, hey man, woo! What was he going to gain not to deny himself? He wasn't going to gain a thing not to deny himself. He was willing to deny everything that he ever was. He did not say, God, I want an exalted position in your kingdom. He just simply said, remember me. Oh, he just said, remember me. He didn't feel worthy to be forgiven. He didn't feel worthy to be a recipient of grace. He didn't feel worthy. He didn't feel worthy. And when you feel that way, business is going to pick up. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe you're seeking to please Him. He had a plea for forgiveness. Amen. A prayer of faith. He said, remember me when thou comest into my kingdom. You remember me preaching on this not long ago. On the thought here, he didn't say, remember me if thou comest into thy kingdom. He said, remember me when thou comest into my kingdom. You see, there's got to be faith. There's got to be faith generated in your prayer, or you're praying in vain. Well, I prayed about this situation. Do you have any faith in your prayer? The Bible says, let a double-minded man not even ask anything. He's asking amiss. You can't be double-minded in your prayer. Either you believe God will and believe God can and believe He will answer prayer, or you don't. Amen. He had a prayer that pleased the Father. He had a plea that pleased the Father. He didn't ask for an exalted position. He didn't say, I deserve mercy and grace. He wasn't about saying, what me and me and me and me and mine. And it wasn't about that. He just said, remember me when thou innest and when thou comest into thy kingdom. It's yours. I don't even deserve to be in it. I don't deserve to be forgiven. Amen. Woo! Everybody okay?
Yes, sir.
I thought about it to myself. Thank you, Lord. It pleased God that to bruise the Son. It pleased God, amen, to let in Him all the fullness. It pleased God to save them which would believe. But it pleases God to reveal His Son in our life. It pleases Him. And it displeases Him when we don't reveal to the world His Son in our life. It says so in Galatians 1:15-16. It pleased God, amen, that Christ would be seen in Paul's life. I just want to ask you today, have you been showing Christ in your life? Amen. Oh my, thank you, Lord. Woo! The scene was overshadowed. Everything that was on the cross was not, it was about Jesus Christ. We don't even know these two thieves, the one that got, we don't even know His name, because no importance, preeminence can be shifted from the man in the midst, from Christ in the center. Oh no, His name's not even mentioned. Hey, my name's not important. It's not about a pat on my back. It's not about something I can be recognized for. It's not about that. It's His kingdom. It's His glory. It's His mercy. It's His grace. It's all God. Woo! He was pleasing the Father in his prayer. Pleasing the Father in his plea. I've often said this. You know, if you want to have a happy marriage, I'm going to tell you the key to it tonight. Guaranteed. I'll guarantee it. Guaranteed. Both of you saved, born again, this will work. For saved folks, you want to have a happy marriage? Here's how you do it. Sir, spend your days pleasing the Father and pleasing her. Spend your life making the Lord happy and your family happy. Ma'am, you want to have a happy marriage? Spend your life pleasing God and pleasing that husband and that family. Are y'all with me tonight? That's how you can have a happy marriage. In a relationship with Christ is likened, according to Ephesians 5, to a marriage between a man and a woman. And if you want to have a happy, joyous Christian journey, then it's your duty to, it's your obligation to, it's your responsibility. But it ain't nobody's fault. It ain't nobody's fault but yours if you're not happy. Please the Father. Please the groom, and you'll be happy, because you know it pleases Him to die for your sake, to save you that will believe on Him, to reveal Himself in your life. Why did He die? I mean, really, let's boil it down. Why did Jesus die? I had a little smart aleck come up to me. Y'all probably. Is anybody praying about them smart alecks? Because I'm getting more of them lately. Help me, Lord. Had a smart aleck come up to me. He said, Jesus committed suicide. I said, no, sir. Nope. Then are you admitting? Are you admitting they had the power to kill God? I said, only power they had is what God gave them. Ain't that what He said? You'd have no. Pilate said, I've got power to free you. He said, you ain't got no power unless the Father which sent me give it to you. No. It was more than a martyr's death. He wasn't just dying for what he believed. It was a sacrificial death. He was dying. They said, come down from the cross. Come down from the cross. Wagged their little self-righteous head. If thou be the Son of God, if you be the King, come down from the cross. Oh, but he showed more love than that. You see, if he'd have saved himself, he could not have saved us. But because he did not save himself, he made it possible to save us. He made it possible to save us. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for sacrificially dying in my place. Woo! I couldn't go to heaven if not for you.
Amen.
Amen. He did what they needed. They said, let his blood be on our heads. They could wash their head, but that wasn't the thing that was going to send them to hell. It was a fact that the blood was on their hearts. And if he got down off the cross, their heart would stay dark. But if he stayed on, for all them that would believe, their hearts could be washed. And I'm not talking about this ticker right here. I'm talking about the soul, the inner man. Amen. The real you. The eternal, everlasting you. Oh, bless the Lord. My heavenly soul. Thank you, God. It can be made white as snow. Whiter than snow. Oh, he made a plea. It pleased God to make us one in Christ. To reveal his Son in us. Amen. To make us his people. To give us a resurrected body. He said, but preacher, there's all kind of excuses. Well, that man, he wasn't worried about excuses on the cross. He didn't say, if I'd have had a better mom and daddy to raise me right. No. He didn't say, if my sorry preacher would have dealt with some. Didn't say that. Wow. In other words, you can't blame nobody. Are y'all getting this? You mean I'm responsible, despite what Sigmund Freud says, despite Rogerian theory, despite Oprah Winfrey, despite Dr. Phil, in spite of Dr. Oz. I was waiting for somebody to throw something at me. In spite of Smiley Joe. Said he made $5 million one time for preaching one service. $5 million that infidel made. He spent it on his teeth. That's where he spent the money at. I can promise you that. Smiling. Lockjaw. He'll be in the coffin. A smile ain't going to get him to glory, though. And he's caused so many people to go to hell. Can you hear me tonight? You're going to have to take. It ain't your daddy's fault, your mama's fault, your Sunday school, your preacher. It ain't nobody's fault but your own. Just take responsibility. God said, it's your fault. Amen. Amen. That thief said, he looked at that man beside him that was reviling. He said, the other answer rebuked him in verse 40, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He said, we're getting what we're deserved. I'm getting what. He took responsibility, Brother Johnny. He said, I deserve to die and go to hell. I deserve being crucified. He said, we indeed justly, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And what's amazing is, he's really the only clear, Pilate's wife maybe, Pilate a little, but he's the only clear human witness of Christ being innocent in the whole scene. Not John, not nobody spoke up. But this thief said, we're unholy. We're getting what we deserve. He's holy. He's done nothing wrong. Woo! He didn't blame God. Well, it's your fault. You know what he said? He said this. He said, verse 42, unto Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He had heard him in verse 28 make a prophecy. He recognized he was a prophet. He had heard him in verse 34 make intercession. Father, forgive them. He heard him fulfill his office as priest. He knew him as a prophet and a priest. But there, at that moment, Holy Ghost worked on him. Because he said, Lord. And the Bible says no man can call him Lord except by the Holy Ghost. That's why it's important we don't grieve the Spirit. That's why it's important we don't quench the Spirit. Because if we do, the Holy Ghost may not move. Some sinner may not call him Lord. And you'll have that on your shoulder, sir, ma'am. Is everybody listening to me tonight? This serious business. This ain't playtime. It's preaching time. God help us to get help tonight. We ought to leave better than the way we came in. Lord. Lord. His life is slipping. If you study history, it's not in the Bible. We don't know why they're there. But historical evidence kind of shows, leans toward the fact, they really were counted as thieves. A murder took place. They were charged as being guilty. But they were really just revolting against the oppressive, socialistic, does anything sound familiar? Socialistic, communistic, demonocracy of Rome. He might have been, according to some historians, merely a freedom fighter, fighting for the independence of the Jews. But whatever he is there for, he has admitted, I am guilty! I deserve here! I'm getting what I deserve, my due reward! But this man has done nothing! I know who he is, Lord! Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I don't know about y'all. Let me just put it like this. What got him to that point? I was talking to Brother Johnny today. That feels good to say that, Brother Johnny. On a Wednesday night, I'm looking at Brother Johnny. And I talked to Brother Johnny today. Woo! Hey, God is so good. I love to see God work in people's lives. Stirs my soul. Amen. Is it because Johnny's perfect that he's here on Wednesday night? No. It's because he recognizes that he's imperfect. And he wants to be more perfect. And he wants to be more like God. And is everybody okay? But see, the one that thinks they're all right, you know, they don't think they need nothing. They can take it or leave it. But those of us who need God, it ain't because we're holy ruler and better than everybody else. It's because we're desperate. We gotta have God. Our youngins need it. Our church needs it. Our family needs it. Our lost neighbors need to see our car pulling out of the parking lot. Amen. Preacher, on Wednesday night. Amen. Everybody in your community ought to know where you're at on Wednesday. Thief wants to break into your house in order to be Sunday or Wednesday. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen.
Yes, sir.
But Johnny, it didn't matter his past. Didn't matter his present situation. But what was going to matter was what was going to come out of his mouth. He could continue to mock and rail and revile sinless Savior, the priest, prophet, King and Redeemer hanging right beside him. He could. He could keep on doing what he's doing and act like he don't, because pride has built up in him. And he's already on the cross. And it's already, but listen, when you're nailed to the cross, friend, and you realize the Bible says, cursing is everyone that nails to the cross, hey, you ain't looking for vindication. You're looking for redemption. You want forgiveness. There on that side of the cross, he ain't making excuses. Man, I want to one day preach a message on four excuses that God shut up in John chapter 6. They had all kind of excuses. The multitude's too big. The money ain't enough. There ain't a table big enough. The treasury don't have a... Are y'all following me? Everybody, it's always something. But this man, time is running out. Honesty. McKinley, you was telling me earlier what little McKinley said, right? McKinley said we're going to heaven in 10 days. That's what she said. Is that what she said? She said, and she firmly believed it. You say you think we're going to heaven 10 days? Might go in one. When everybody tried to say, what are you talking about? We're going to leave again and go somewhere else. She said, no, we getting out of here and going to heaven. No talking her out of it. Full assurance. Are y'all listening to me? What if we did tomorrow? What baggage are you going to haul to the judgment seat? I believe I'd empty the baggage tonight. I believe I'd dump over everything and get just real humble and honest, like to identify myself, woo, with a man on the right side. Because he identified himself with the one, thank God, in the midst. And with the one on the right side identified himself with the one in the middle. The one in the middle got on the inside. Amen. Woo, amen. You know what? I'm so saved. If I was for the devil to take me to hell, he's going to have to take Jesus first. Because I'm in Christ. Woo! Are y'all? Assurances. Now, he's made a lot of pleas. A lot of confessions. And when he got honest with God, he gave him five assurances. You write them down, okay? First one he gave them was life goes on. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I know you may have heard me come across this one other time as illustration, but let me just park here a minute and just let you know. Your personality, your soul, the real you... It's going to either live forever or die forever. Are y'all listening to me? If you've been born twice, you'll only die once. If you've only been born once, you're going to die twice. The second death is an eternal suffering death that will never end. A perpetual, tormenting, suffering where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. That's where hell is. That's where the hell's going to be cast in the lake of fire. So that's where hell is. That's where death is. That's where the damned are. That's where the devil is. Are y'all following? I don't want to be in that crowd. For those who's been born twice, we're going to spend forever in glory. I preached on it Sunday morning. Amen. Thank God we're going to see His face. Here's what I'm saying, church. He gave him assurance that thou are going to forever be. He said, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And now, look what he said. He said, today... thou shalt be with me in paradise. He not only giveth the assurance that he was going to live forever. Amen. Thank God. The only way he can live forever, Brother Johnny, amen, is he has to have gotten born again right there on the cross. There had to be something take place. He ain't going to hand out a tract, going to raise a godly family. He ain't going to get baptized. He's not going to take a communion. But that boy just got born again at the last moments of his life. Deathbed salvation. Woo! And he spent his whole saved life with his flesh nailed to the cross, never looking back, because it don't pay to look back, it pays to look forward. Everybody stay with me. He spent his whole saved life hanging around Jesus. Amen. Woo! Identifying himself with the cross of Christ and Christ himself. He said, today, thou gonna be forever, but it's gonna be today. It's gonna be immediate. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But if he's gonna live forever and it's gonna be today, then that means he's gonna get saved immediately. That means God don't have a layaway plan. That means God don't put you on parole. That means God, when he pardons you, he purchases you and he places your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. What does that mean, preacher? That means all your sin has been ever forgiven. Rolled into the empty tomb. You've been justified and set free. That's the way when he prays, he's going to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Wait a minute, preacher, I'm full of blame and I'm full of reproof. Yes, but when God the Father looks down at you, he sees you through Christ. And through Christ, you're righteous and holy. Man, that's, I don't know about y'all, but that's helping me. That's helping me. We can sit around if we want to. That's good news tonight. I was reading in John 17 today. Whew. I was reading in John 17 today. You know what it said? He's praying about the disciples. He said, they have kept thy word. We know that's a lie. If you look at it like that, it could be a lie. But now, hold on. We know Jesus don't lie. I've caught you twice tonight. First time I told you I wasn't preaching the Bible. This and second time I caught your attention to telling you, wait a minute, that's a lie. The Bible don't lie. Do y'all agree with that? Do y'all agree that Jesus is not a liar? Do y'all agree with that? But Jesus said, they have kept thy word. What does that mean? From man's standpoint, we fail a lot. But as God sees us, we're perfect in Christ. I'm about to have a fit. That means as long as the Lord keeps the... Woo! He wants us to line up with the Bible, brother. We want to have help. We want to have joy. We want to have happiness. Then we're going to have to line up with God's proclamation. And Jesus proclaims we have kept his word. That means he said, if you're going to show me how much you love me, if you're going to express your love to me, don't do it with your lips. Do it with your life. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. Well, here's what I'm saying. If you love God, you'll live for him. Is everybody all right? He gave him assurance that he is going to be presented blameless. He said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woo! Hey man! He said it's going to be immediate. He said, thank God. Hallelujah. It's going to be instantly. If he's going to go to heaven, if he's going to dwell in paradise. Wait a minute. I forgot another one. He insured him. He gave him the assurance that there was such a thing as paradise. That heaven was real. It's not a fairy tale, y'all. Hey, we're not going someplace down the yellow brick road where we go behind a sheet and the man that claims to be God's really a man. This ain't a Wizard of Oz story. That Wizard of Oz movie was made for one purpose, and that purpose was one reason, and that was to discredit the Bible. I'm going to tell you right now, my kids don't watch Wizard of Oz. I don't want them to think the yellow brick road is leading nowhere but to God. It's a yellow brick road. Y'all follow me? I'm telling you, it's okay if you look at it. I forgive you, and I know God will forgive you, but the truth is, friend, amen, God is real. Heaven's real. Today, instantly, you're going to be saved. And today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Today, thou. But then he gave him one more assurance. He said, he gave him an assurance of an eternal fellowship. You know what he said? He said, thou shalt be with me. Whew. Have y'all ever got out of fellowship with Jesus while you're down here? Y'all ever disobeyed God and got out of fellowship? I want you to lift your hand. Has anybody in here ever been out of fellowship with Jesus? Thank you. Well, then can I tell you this? There'll be a day when the fellowship will never be broken. Woo! Sit around, I'll shout for you. Woo! I say, bless the Lord. I'm going to a place, Brother Johnny, where I won't have to deal with flesh. I won't have to deal with that sorry flesh, that old wicked, ungodly old fretful thoughts. I don't have to deal with an old wicked fleshly heart. I don't have to deal with that sorry devil. I don't have to deal with people discrediting me, talking about me, running me. I don't have to deal with that. I'll be in perfect harmony. I'll be in perfect fellowship. Woo! What a blessed day. That thief got all that assurance instantly. You know what that thief did? I believe if you could ask that thief, he'd tell you, Calvary's the best day of his life. Yeah, he's crucified, but it's the day he met Jesus. I believe if you'd ask that thief, he'd tell you, all that God took me through, all that God allowed to happen to my life, brought me to the day I came to the end of myself and looked unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. And when I believed on Him, when I called out the word Lord, He became my Lord. He is my King, my priest, and my prophet. I have joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe instantaneously the pain of the crucifixion left. He enjoyed the blessings of fellowship right then, and it was never broke except for a fraction of time that I believe when that centurion soldier came up to break the legs, he hollered out, "Break mine first! I've been away from the Lord too long. I've got to get back in fellowship." Why is it that God has to break us, to bring us to a place of restored fellowship? I don't know, but if He needs to, so be it, God. I can't make it without You. I've got to have You. Let's all stand. Jacob, you come, heads bowed and eyes closed. I wonder how many should already be in this altar today.